Welcome to Face to Face. Face to Face is an in-depth look at the life and career of a popular sports figure from a Christian perspective. Now, here's your host of Face to Face, Tom Rust.
All right, thank you very much, and welcome to Face to Face. We're glad to have you with us this week, and I hope you're doing well here in January. It is maybe a little chilly where you're at. Maybe you're even in a situation to where you've got a little storm going on, or maybe you're in the South. And if you're in the South, well, of course, the weather gets to be a little different down there. It gets to be a little warmer, but you have to watch out for those storms. Well, it's basketball season, no doubt about that. And we have with us today a guy who understands basketball, and he's at the top level. His name is J.D. Collins, and J.D., for many, many years, probably about 25 years, was an NCAA official at all different levels of he was at the Division I level, but all different leagues, just about every league that you could think of, J.D. Participated in a game, and he got a chance to do some Final Fours. And now he is the head of NCAA officials at all levels across the United States. And J.D. and I have been close personal friends for a long time. In fact, he's given me a couple of great experiences. I got to tell you about one. A few years ago, I guess maybe a number of years ago now, he was on his way down to do a game in Louisville, an exhibition game, one of those preseason games they have against a team you know you're going to beat. And he invited me to go along. So I had this tremendous experience of sitting and watching him, going down there, seeing what officials go through before they actually get on the floor, and then coming back with him. And I was just amazed at the number of hours these guys put in. I would see them maybe doing a Big Ten game one night. I know J.D. was doing, as I said, the Louisville game that night, and I think the next night he might have been somewhere else in the United States. They get a few hours sleep. They either hop on a plane or get in their car and drive to the next game, and they end up doing a lot of games. You see these officials doing a lot of games, and it's just amazing what their schedule is all about. But J.D. has risen to the top. I consider him a good friend and a strong Christian brother. That's why we're doing face-to-face today. So we'll take a break, and when we come back, you'll hear from J.D. Collins, the head of NCAA basketball officials. We'll take a break and be right back. You're listening to Face-to-Face. All right, thank you very much, and welcome to Face to Face. Glad to have you with us today as we talk a little basketball with the head of the NCAA, the NCAA coordinator of officials nationally, and longtime friend J.D. Collins. J.D., thanks for being with us.
Good morning, Tom. How are you?
I'm doing great. You are the head of all officials at every level of the NCAA. How many officials would you say overall you're working with?
It's a really good question. At the Division I level, there are approximately 900 Division I officials. Then you add Division II and Division III into it, and you're probably looking at somewhere 3,000 or above.
That's a lot of guys, men and women.
I only deal with the men's side.
What is the function of being a coordinator? It would seem like when you that's a lot of people. Who do you deal with? What is your day like?
Well, there are two primary functions of my job. I'll talk about the second first. The second is to select, identify, advance officials in the NCAA tournament. And as you know, the NCAA tournament is a very high-profile tournament, so there's a lot of attention that draws. So we begin November 1st, and we're out looking at officials trying to identify the best 100 to work that tournament, and then we advance them through the process. So that's the second piece of my job. The first piece is to establish a structure or a set of guidelines for how the game will be officiated throughout the year. So during the regular season, there are 18 coordinators of officials across the country that have direct responsibility for the officials in those conferences, and I influence both the coordinators and the officials themselves on how the game is to be called.
I read a USA Today article that you were featured in, and it said the key to consistency is mechanics and technology. Can you explain that a little bit?
Well, mechanics, as I refer to that, it's where the officials are at on the floor, how they position themselves, and when we miss calls, That is if we miss calls. Yeah, we're going to miss some calls, trust me. But if we miss calls, 90% of the time, it's because we're not in the right position, have the right angle, have the right look at the play. One of the advantages that media has is I think it would be great if we as officials had a replay in our head of the camera angle above the backboard. We don't have that look. We've got a straight-on view, and so we have to be moving and getting into the right place. From a technology perspective, it's more after the fact, using technology to provide film clips to the officials, showing them where they needed to move or how they needed to move or how they could have improved their angle on a particular play. Because in reality, you can take a play and you have a view where you're looking at the back of one guy and the front of the other guy, but you're not seeing between them. Two steps down and you create a better angle to see what happens in between those players.
Has the instant replay been a good thing for you as officials?
I think it does. It has been a great thing. I think there is having the opportunity, especially in the last 2 minutes of a game, to look at a play and assure that we 100% get it right is very, very valuable. The question becomes, how far do you take that? How far do you take instant replay? Because at some point, either fans, coaches, media want us to look at every play. And if we do that, you're not going to like watching a four-hour basketball game.
Yeah, that gets long. One of the things when you and I were talking, I thought that as I was thinking about your job, that you would obviously spend time with the personnel, with the officials, with coaches, conference heads, things like that. But you told me you spend a lot of time with the media. Tell me about how important it is to be spending time with the media.
Well, first of all, I think that all of life is about relationships. And so whether it's I'm dealing with a coach, a referee, a coordinator of officials, an administrator, to me those are all very, very important people involved in the game of basketball. After that, the media have a huge impact on what the fan base believes is to be true or accurate. Pick a name, if they say X, then that must be true because they said it. And so this past year, I think I was at 12 or 13 meetings with media groups or talent, the guys and gals who are doing the sideline reporting, and trying to teach them the rules of our game and how we're calling things, why we're calling things the way they are, so that they have the right language to use and are using it appropriately on a given play.
Do you do a lot of clinics? Do you do a lot of I know there's not much of an off season for you, but
right.
but during it, that time, do you do a lot of times where you stand in front of dozens, hundreds of people and kind of explain the rules?
Yes. Starting with the officials, we have four regional clinics in the fall. So 1,000 officials come in four different areas, and we literally show them on film and teach them what we're expecting for the year. I also do clinics in the summer at summer camps where we're teaching referees, and then truly standing in front of the talent of a particular media organization and teaching them as a clinic format too. So probably, if I think about it, more time is spent in my job in the teaching, training, and the development of officials and those involved than anything else I do.
What do you think is the toughest call for an official? Maybe that's a hard question.
You know, it varies per official. For me personally, I think traveling is a very, very difficult call. You have to know where the pivot foot's at. You have to pick it up in a split second and then know if they pick it up and put it back down before dribbling or shooting. That's a travel. Some guys say the out-of-bounds play because it's deflected off of so many people. Most fans think the block charge is a hard play to call. Our perspective on that is we referee the defense. Most fans only watch the ball. And so they really don't know if the defender's legal or not. We have a pretty good idea if the defender's legal or not.
You were a pretty top-notch official yourself. You didn't just walk into the game from the outside, and you did a lot of games for, what, about 20 years you were an official?
Yep.
You did two Final Fours. You did a number of regionals. Do you know how many games you actually did over that period of time?
It's got to be in the somewhere between 1,500 and 2,000. I don't really know from the start what the exact quantity is. I know that I cherished every one of them, and not being able to be on the floor now, I would love to be able to go back and referee some more, but if I can't be there, then I'm loving what I'm doing.
When you did the Final Four, did you do the final game or did you do the semifinal game? I know you did two of them.
Yeah, in 04 I was the alternate, so I'm the guy sitting on the sideline trying to help the crew. In 08 I worked the Memphis-UCLA semifinal game. Derrick Rose and Kevin Love were in that game, and it was a great experience. It was a great experience.
Yeah, I was going to say, do you prepare for a game any differently than a game like that, or is it pretty much another game, just another night at the office?
You know, it's interesting you ask that, because when I was the alternate in 04, I came away from that and I thought, well, I think I can do that. That's no big deal. But when I got there in 08 on the floor, I had gained more experience and I knew I could, because the reality is the floor is 94 feet long, 50 feet wide, 10-foot rims, five players on each team and two coaches on the sideline. That's the same view we have every night.
Kind of like the old Hoosiers movie, right?
Yeah, a little bit.
Gene
a little bit.
Hackman measuring the rim.
Yep.
J.D. Collins is our guest, longtime official, and now the NCAA coordinator of officials. We'll take a break, and when we come back, we'll talk more about J.D.'s personal life. So don't go away. You're listening to Face to Face. Welcome back to Face to Face. Our guest is J.D. Collins, who I've known for quite a while. In fact, I think I remember the first time we met was, I believe, at Bankers Life Fieldhouse. You were doing a game, as I recall, between Valparaiso and somebody. And
interesting.
I think I remember the fact that our friend Galen Dolby, who's
absolutely
gone now, and,
absolutely.
I think he introduced me to you at that particular time. During the old IU, when they used to have those Christmas tournaments, the IU Holiday Tournament, you had, at the height of your career, you suffered an injury. You suffered a knee injury. I believe it was at Michigan State.
Correct.
Tell me a little bit about that game and what came out of that.
The reality is, some people have better wheels than others, and my knees wore out pretty early, so I'd had multiple knee surgeries, and that particular night at Michigan State, my right knee just said, nope, no more, you're done. And so from that point, had my right knee replaced, and I became an off the floor official, meaning I went from the on the floor side to an administrator assisting the Big Ten. I ended up being the coordinator of officials for the MAC and Summit. Did that process for about 5 years, and then when this opportunity came available as the national coordinator, I took the opportunity.
You were in about every major conference, at least the ones that were east of the Mississippi. I don't know what you did west of the Mississippi, but I know you had Missouri Valley, you had Big East, you had ACC, you had Big Ten, you had Summit,
correct.
MAC, and you had them all at the same time, I think.
That is correct.
Doing five or six nights a week. When did you start? What level did you start officiating? I know you came out of small Indiana Wesleyan University, but
right.
Where was your start officiating?
I actually went to Tri-State University, which is now Trine. Got an associate degree there. And while I was there, I started refereeing intramural ball. And then got an associate degree, went to work. As I started working, small, you know, high school, junior high, JV, anything I could. Had a good friend, Gary Cheeseman, who was a baseball coach at Blackford High School, who was an official, and he took me under his arm. And I learned how to referee through Gary. And then quickly went to the small college route, and then into Division I shortly thereafter that. And it was a pretty good ride. I had a lot of fun, got to meet a lot of really, really neat people.
Can you remember the game that maybe introduced you to the big time? Maybe a Big Ten game, maybe a NCAA game. Was there any one game out there that stands out to where you said, I'm moving up now?
Well, there are probably several. A couple come to my mind quickly when you ask that question. The first Division I game I worked was at Indiana with Coach Knight. You better be prepared when you go into Indiana and the atmosphere there. Another game that I recall, before I was on the Big Ten staff, I was assigned to Northwestern at Minnesota. And that game was when Ricky Birdsong I think he had stayed awake for seven straight days preparing for this, and he wasn't there. Mentally, he wasn't there, and there's all kinds of antics that went on in the crowd that night. But I remember thinking that night, wow, you better be ready, because anything can happen in this game.
If I recall, that's the night that he got up and walked to the top of the arena or
that
something
is correct.
Like that and stood there?
That is correct. And he has since passed, a couple years later, passed away. But what I remember on the first media timeout, 4 minutes into the game, I looked to my right, and Ricky Birdsong was leading the Minnesota band in the Minnesota fight song. Now, I'm going to tell you what, that'll play a little head game with you if you're not careful.
I know your faith is crucial to you. Tell me where your faith comes into your life and your position.
You know, it is very important to me, and I have a belief that what we say in life, we ought to back up with what we do. And I also believe that most people pay more attention to what I do than what I say. And I think that's true for all of us. And so I try to live out my faith in my actions daily, and like you, like me, like probably most of the listeners, I make mistakes on a daily basis. However, I want people to know that there's something different about me because of my faith in Christ and how that has crafted who I am.
When did Jesus Christ become personal to you?
July 29th, 1980. I was 17 years old and raised in a Christian home, but began to understand it at that point. And took the step myself, and I have a firm understanding of what grace means, and it comes from that day.
When you were growing up, did you see yourself as a basketball star, as a baseball star, or did you see yourself as being an official and being in the position that you're in now?
I had no clue I was going to referee college basketball. I started refereeing in intramurals just so I'd get a couple bucks to buy pizza when I was in school. I played hoops in high school. I ran track in college, and that's where I started refereeing because I missed the game. You know, being raised in Indiana, hoops is part of what you do. It's just a part of your DNA. And I found that refereeing intramurals allowed me to stay in the game, work with fellow officials as a team, and yet it's a very individual sport where you can achieve certain things on your own.
I know, too, that you've had a lot of different irons in the fire. At one point, I could hardly believe in knowing you that you were refereeing all those games. You were still managing a major company. Time management has to be something that's very important to you in your job. Tell me a little bit about where time management fits into your daily life.
Well, I think all of us, we're either really good time managers or really poor. And you and I spoke earlier, we were talking about the amount of travel time that I have, and my wife travels as well. And wow, you guys, you know, you really got to work out how, you know, being together. And I said, I have friends that say they spend all their time with their wife, and yet none of it's quality time. And I think all of us need to make sure that we prioritize the important things in life, and that we spend time on them, with them, through them. You know, as a pastor, bottom line, you show me your checkbook and your calendar, and I'll tell you what's important to you.
Yeah, you say you travel extensively, and is this would seem, of course, basketball is your main focus, but is this a 12-month a year, 24/7 type of job, or do you have off time?
This the NCAA national coordinator is a 12-month a year job. It's a full-time gig. Prior to this, I had several things I was doing. I was a commissioner of a Crossroads League. I was coordinator for officials for the Mac and Summit. I did some consulting and obviously some public speaking. This job, I wake up in the morning and I have one thing to think about, and that's how can I make officials better? How can I help train them? How can the end product be better for the student athletes that we serve? So it can be consuming. From March the 5th to April the 5th during the NCAA tournament, it is, let's just put it this way, sleep is not much of an option during that time.
There's got to be times when you relax. What do you do off? What do you do to relax?
Enjoy spending.
You gotta be relaxing.
Oh yeah, I enjoy spending time with my wife, and she loves nature, so we spend a lot of time out in nature, whether it be on a river or be in the woods looking at birds, whatever. Our vacations are geared around that. I enjoy playing golf, but I really enjoy, I mow about three acres at my home. And getting out on the mower and just plugging in some earbuds, listening to what I want to listen to, believe it or not, is a really, really relaxing time for me.
And do you stay away from basketball? Do you watch, for instance, I know it's a totally different thing, but do you watch the NBA playoffs and what the officials do in that game?
I watch it more now than I did when I was refereeing, only because I want to study what they're doing. But for me to say that I watch a lot of NBA games would be false. As you said, I think it's two different games. There are correlations between the two. Obviously, it's very similar. However, I focus my attention more on our rules and our game. And if I'm going to watch hoops, I got tons of games I need to go back and watch from college basketball.
You got to be in shape to be an official. You've got to stay strong. But to be a Christian, we all know you've got to stay spiritually strong. What do you do to keep yourself up during all the hours that you have to do your job? What do you do to stay spiritually in shape?
Well, I think one of the things that's important to me is accountability. I preach it. I also want it. And so when I'm traveling, and you probably do the same thing, I have a list of, in fact, in my truck right now is a list of five people that I want to call this week, and I want to talk to them and find out what's going on with them relative to their faith as well as life, and allow them the opportunity to ask me the same questions. I think the phrase is iron sharpens iron.
Right. That's true. JD, it's been a tremendous day to do this. We've had a good time together today. I want to close this way. Tell me, what is your favorite verse?
I'm going to struggle with the exact wording of it, but in Philippians 4, there's a verse that shares that we need to be patient in all things. And what that says to me is that we need to have an understanding from God's perspective, not ours. And I think when I stood in line for patience, God shorted me a little bit. And so I constantly remind myself that I need to focus back on just relax, just be patient, and have faith that things will work out the way He intends them.
Great to get together with you today. Good luck in your job. I'm always amazed the fact that I actually know you and have a chance to spend time with you.
You're too kind.
With all the things that you have going on. And good luck, and God bless you, and may your witness be, because you come in contact with a lot of people, so may your witness shine through.
Thank you.
J.D. Collins, our guest, the NCAA coordinator of officials. We'll take a break and be back with more, so don't go away. You're listening to Face to Face. Welcome to Face to Face. Hope you enjoyed our time with J.D. Collins, and hope you're enjoying face-to-face. Got to tell you, I'm glad to be back after having some surgery. And it's just good to know all the different Christian athletes and Christian administrators and yes, Christian basketball and other officials, Christian umpires in Major League Baseball. There's just a lot of different ways in which Jesus Christ is working in the sports world. And, of course, you don't hear a whole lot about that. I was really impressed during the recent football season to see a number of the players who given their lives to Christ, who were able to make decisions. Now, one, Kirk Cousins, the quarterback of the Minnesota Vikings, who made this strong statement that God's in control of his life no matter what happens. And then there's Drew Brees, who was defeated by the Vikings, but Drew is someone who has Jesus Christ at the center of his life. And then I saw Oregon play Wisconsin on the Rose Bowl, and there's another Brees. I think his name was Brady Brees, and he also made the statement about how God is in control of his life. You know, these guys, they don't get much time on the air, but I appreciate the fact that when they do have that, they talk about what Jesus Christ means to them. And we've got a lot of them. We've got a lot of them on our website. I hope you'll check out our website. Our website is at facetofaceradio.com. And, of course, we have a number of different interviews from a number of different levels, a number of different people. And we try to keep up with what's going on in the sports world. So I hope you'll stay with us also by checking out our website
at facetofaceradio.com. Well, hey, as we close things out today, I want to go to the book of Romans, chapter 8, verse 31. And this is kind of something that I think is important in our day and age today. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? You know, really, spiritually, we're kind of at war in this country. There's a lot of factions that do not like the fact that God is at the forefront of what they do. They do not like hearing about what Jesus can do. They do not like hearing about what God can do. But it's our responsibility as Christians to let the country know and let the people know, let our neighbors know, let our family know that God is at the center of our lives. And that's why we do this on Face to Face. And if God's for us, who can be against us? That's a great line. That's about it for us. We look forward to having you back next week. We'll have another Christian athlete. Till then, this is Tom Russ saying, remember this, no matter where you go, no matter what you do, be a good sport. Bye.
You've been listening to Face to Face with Tom Rust. For a free copy of today's program or for more information, please write to Face to Face Ministries, P.O. Box 125, Columbus, Indiana, 47202. You can also find us on the web at facetofaceradio.com. Join us again next week as Tom Rust goes face to face.